The reading can be found on page 919 of the Pew Bibles, taken from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, commencing at verse 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labour pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Here ends the reading.
That's working, yes. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that now we'd be open to the work of your Holy Spirit within us. Help us to understand your word so that we might live your risen life. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Well, I want you to look really carefully at this glass of water. I spent a lot of time this morning measuring it. And it was said by someone much wiser than me that an optimist could look at a glass of water like this and say, it's half full, and they'd be right. A pessimist could look at this glass of water and say, it's half empty. But a realist could look at this glass of water and say, yep, there's water in that. Christians should be realists because we should be able to see the world as it truly is. We should be able to look around us and see the impact of sin and evil everywhere that we look. We should be able to see the disease and the death and the decay all around us. We should see the created order falling apart, decaying, at war with itself. But Christians should never, ever be pessimists because we have a hope for future glory, as Paul talks about in our reading this morning from Romans chapter 8. As Christians, and as Revelation says again and again and again, as Paul says again and again in the book of Romans, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth that God has promised, where none of these things that we see around us will exist. There will be no death, no pain, no suffering, no sickness. In fact, the Bible cannot describe what's going to come in any words except to say what it's not like. Have you ever thought about that? We have no words in language to describe what's coming except to say what it's not. It's pretty amazing. And that's the hope that we have within us. That's the promise that God's given us. If you're following along in Romans chapter 8, you might want to look back at verses 19, because this is what Paul writes in verse 19, just before our reading this morning. He says, creation waits with eager longing to be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Paul says the whole of creation is groaning. It's suffering from the effects of sin. And human beings like you and me are not immune to this suffering or this groaning. That's why, says Paul, the whole of creation is waiting in anticipation for the day when Jesus will return and make everything new. Creation's waiting. It's hanging there. It's sort of like a kid on Christmas Eve waiting for the clock to tick over so they can open the presents. That's how excited and eager creation is, waiting for Jesus to return. We are part of creation. We should be like this, looking forward in hope. So what does Paul mean when he says the whole of creation is groaning? If you listen really carefully, you can hear the groans of creation all around us. A storm will come, the winds will blow, the trees will creak and groan as they struggle to remain upright and grounded. That's the groans of creation. If you listen, you can hear the groans of creation when a crocodile comes and grabs an animal that's got too close to the water, drags it in, and the rest of the herd stampede off. That's the groans of creation. If you listen really carefully, you can hear the groans of creation in the crying and weeping and wailing of a parent whose child has just died from starvation or some preventable illness. That's the groans of creation that Paul is talking about all around us. And then Paul says in verse 22 to 25, that not only creation is groaning, but we are groaning. We're looking forward to a day when creation won't be at war with itself, a day when there won't be any more suffering, no more sickness, no more death, no more grief. Creation's waiting, says Paul. It's groaning as it waits. It's waiting with hope, with eager anticipation for Jesus to return and restore his creation. And we groan alongside it. How do we groan? Well, we talk when we groan, when we talk about our own hurts, physical, emotional, spiritual. We groan when we're standing alongside someone and praying for them as they're going through a really tough time. We're groaning when we grieve for ourselves or with others. We groan when we experience ridicule or rejection or worse, because of our faith. We groan when we realize that as sinners, we cause suffering and pain to others. We groan when we see people we love and care about make really bad choices about their life. We groan with the rest of creation. But we don't groan because we're pessimists. We groan because we're realists. We know what's going on around us. As Paul says, we live in hope that God will keep his promises. Now, you might have heard me say this before, but when the Bible talks about hope, it doesn't mean it's like going into the newsagent on Saturday afternoon and saying, I'll buy the Tats Lotto ticket and hope I win. That's a statement of faith in a system that doesn't work. That's a dream to walk into Tats Lotto, the Tats Lotto agent, say, I'll get a ticket and hope I win. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is really different. It's based on a trust and a faith in a God who keeps his promises. See, biblical faith is based in the God that led his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the promised land, and he kept his promise that that's what he would do. And it's the same God who came to us in the person of Jesus and who died and was raised to life. And it's the same God who promises us that he will return and put creation back. That's what hope's about. So when we say we are people of hope, we have a hope in a God who keeps his promises. That's what we're people of. That's the people we are. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit, says Paul, is like a sign that that hope is going to come. So we see signs of that hope breaking into reality when we pray for someone and they're healed. Or we're able to help someone who's really struggling. Or we're able to forgive someone who's really hurt us. Or when someone doesn't reject us for our faith, but says, "What are you on about? What does that mean? Tell me more." That's a sign of the Holy Spirit breaking into creation and starting to show us a little glimpse of what the new beginning will be like. See, this hope looks towards God, not the Tats Lotto draw on Saturday night. It's a hope that where a day will come when creation won't be at war with itself. People won't be at war with each other. But until that day comes, Christians groan, along with the rest of creation, waiting for Jesus to set us free. But we don't do this on our own. We're not alone doing this. Look at verse 26. "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." There's something really crucial in that sentence. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Grammatically, the word weakness is a singular word. It's not plural. We are weak. The Spirit helps us because we are always weak. Not that we have moments of strength and moments of weakness, because then Paul would have written, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. But Paul says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit helps us all the time. And why does the Spirit help us? Because we don't know how to pray as we ought. And what's the hope? The Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. This word that translated as helps has got the idea of someone helping carry another load. Some of you might have moved house. Arjit and Kate moved house recently. And they had someone to help them carry the heavy loads of the furniture from their different places into a new place. They didn't do it on their own. Someone was helping them. It's the same idea that the Greek word here is the Holy Spirit helps us, gets alongside, is there with us, carrying the load. Paul says, as I said before, the Spirit helps us all the time because we're sinful. We are always weak. We always need help. And the fact that we don't know how to pray is actually a sign of our weakness. But the Holy Spirit comes to the rescue. He intercedes for us with groans that words can't express. And the Greek word that's translated here as intercedes means to approach or appeal to someone. It's like I'm in court and I'm appealing for the judge to have mercy. It's that idea. Or I'm going to someone because I've got a heavy load, and I'm saying, could you help me out? I'm approaching them. It's the same idea. It's just physically moving towards someone. So Paul says creation groans, as we read in verse 22. Christians groan, as we read in verse 23. And here, as we read in verse 26, so does the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit groans. We might know the right words to say, but the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit knows what we need. The Holy Spirit knows what we desire. He shares the burdens and voices these requests for us because we're sinful all the time. We're weak and needing help. In these verses, Paul's reminding us that prayer is a partnership with the Holy Spirit. We don't pray on our own. Every time we pray, the Holy Spirit is praying with us because we're weak. The Holy Spirit joins in to help us in our prayers, expressing for us what we can't fully express for ourselves. The Holy Spirit dwells within us and enables us to pray. So Paul challenges us in these verses to think about what do we see when we look around us. Do we see the world with the eyes of a pessimist? The glass is half empty? The eyes of an optimist? The glass is half full. Or do we see the world with the eyes of a realist? There's water in here. We live in a sinful world. Do we see the impact of that sin and evil around us? Do we have hope that Jesus is coming to make things right? Do we actually look forward to a day when creation won't be at war with itself? Do we look forward to a day when there'll be no more death and grief? Paul challenges us to think about what does it mean for you and for me to know that as we pray, we're joining in the groans of the whole of creation. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? The whole of creation is groaning with us, looking forward to Jesus coming back to make everything new. You'll be aware that this year we're looking at the seasons of the Spirit. The first 3 months, we're looking at prayer. So this season of the Spirit, these first 3 months of the year, we're focusing on prayer. So I want you to encourage you to start thinking about how can I partner with the Spirit in prayer for God's world and for all God's people. And I don't mean God's people like the believers. The whole people, all people around the world. That's who we're praying for. We're groaning with the rest of creation. Usually when the person finishes preaching, they just sort of finish up with a bit of a prayer and then we go off, have some songs or whatever. We're going to do things a little differently this morning. I'm going to ask you in a moment to be thinking about some things that really trouble you. Some things that are really worrying you. And to think about, and they're probably things you think, I just don't know how to pray about this. I don't know what to do with this. This is really troubling me. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to pray and to think about those things and let the Spirit pray for you. Pray with you as you think about that. So I'll start off our time of prayer. And then I'll have some silence in the middle of that prayer for you to just be thinking about those things that are really troubling, really difficult. And just ask God, ask the Spirit to take hold of them and pray for you. You don't even have to do that. You can just be thinking about them, saying, look, God, I really don't know what to do about this. This is really distressing, really disturbing. I'm really worried about. And just give it to God. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, pray that you would help us right now. We would pray that you would bring to mind those things that really trouble us, those things that concern us that we find it so difficult to pray about. Hear our prayer, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stay in that spirit of gentle worship as we stand, sing a couple of songs. I remember seeing something is that better? There we go. On television when I was living in London, and it was a BBC news thing. And it was in, I think it was Uganda or some war-torn sort of sub-Saharan African nation, and there was a refugee crisis. And the reporter was on one side of the fence, you know, the chicken wire fences. And there was this picture of this young guy, this young African guy, obviously a national, who was trying to get across the border. And it was, he was, I think it must have been Sudan, because it must have been the Christian end of Sudan, and they were being attacked. And it was sort of, there was the jungle, and he was coming out of the jungle to this fence. And they turned him away, and they said, "You can't come." And as he turned away and went to leave, he started whistling. And the BBC guys called him back, because this is a very strange response for a person to have who's about to go into near certain death, walking back into almost certain death. And he came up to the chicken wire, and they said, why are you smiling? Why are you whistling? Why are you so happy?" And this young guy said, and it was an extraordinary moment of faith to me, and it goes to what we're talking about. He said, I'm a Christian, and I was never certain if Jesus was all I needed until Jesus was all I had. And something in that moment of absolute, the end of all hope, if you like, there was hope for him. There was peace for him. There was grace for him. Our God is good. And the world, as rough as it gets, has a place of peace and hope for us. That's how the Holy Spirit leads us through it. So let's stand and let's worship that Jesus who is all we need.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord.
Let's sing it out.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, as we overcome by your presence, Lord. There's
nothing. Let's sing it out from the top.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close.
Oh, nothing can compare.
You're our living hope. In your presence,
I've tasted and I've seen. Tasted and seen your goodness.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love.
When my heart becomes free
and my shame is undone, yeah. Oh, you are good in your presence, Lord. Oh, are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Yeah, yeah. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of that wonderful goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory. Sing it again. Let us become aware. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your glorious goodness. Last time. Let us become more aware of your presence, Jesus. This place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
come
God,
fill it all.
Is what
God.
Our hearts long for,
to be overcome
by your
presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your prayer.
Oh, I just want to sing it again.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
You are welcome here.
Come flood this place. Come flood this place. Fill our atmosphere, Jesus.
Your glory, God, is
hearts long for, oh, desperately long for,
overcome by your presence, Lord.
Yeah. Just give me Jesus.